إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praises due to Allah, we praise Him. We ask Allah's assistance and we seek Allah's forgiveness. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Verily, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no object of worship except Allah alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention. May Allah grant him peace, his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. O you who have believed, have taqwa of Allah. By fearing Him, doing what He commanded, and staying away from what He forbade, the way Allah deserves it. And do not die except in the state of submission as Muslims. As to what follows, whether you went on Hajj or whether you remain behind, there's a common problem amongst the Muslims. It manifested in Hajj, and it manifested amongst those whom Allah decreed will not go for Hajj. This problem is not seasonal. This problem is not situational. This problem is not temporary. It's a permanent problem that we face in every occasion, in every circumstance, in every situation, regardless of the country, regardless of the race, regardless of the culture. It is a common problem that if we Muslims don't strive to cleanse ourselves and to rid ourselves from this problem, the progress of this ummah is not going to happen. The rectification of this ummah is far-fetched. Until we fulfill this gap and this need, you may be wondering, what am I speaking about? And you have the right to do so. This was the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In order to make the information, to make it remain, and for the people to retain it, and to ingrain it in their understanding, there will be a form of suspicion, a form of suspense, excuse me, until the information is conveyed. What is the problem? The problem is ignorance, lack of knowledge. We don't know much about Islam, even though we seem to know everything about everything else. The average one of us here, you may ask him about any gadget, any device, and he will give you its history. Which was the first company to produce it? When did they make the first developments? When the second edition was released? And he will give you a brief. You'll think this is his field of expertise, even though this will be something that has nothing to do with his career. General information. MashaAllah, how much we know about almost everything, except the one thing which we must know about, Islam. On Hajj, you see wonders. Muslims from all over the world only realize that they need to learn about the rights of Hajj after they finish their Hajj. Not before, not even during Hajj. No, no, no. After they're finished, then those involved in da'wah start getting the phone calls. Brother, my mother came from black country and she did XYZ and she didn't know that this and she didn't know that that. So now, what's the solution, brother? Brother, I'm not a mufti. Yeah, brother, but what's the solution? Brother, I'm not a mufti. You need to refer these matters to a scholar, not to anyone who works at the da'wah center. Some of these issues are technical. Where were you in the beginning? Where were you before they came for Hajj? Why did you not refer these matters to the scholars? And if you claim there are none available, which is a false claim, where are the books that are available? Where was the seeking of knowledge concerning the rites of Hajj before engaging in this act of worship? But we say, Allah al-Musta'an. Please don't take pictures. Whoever took a picture, delete it now. Otherwise I will ask Allah on the Day of Judgment for my right from you. This is not Hollywood. This is the deen of Allah. If you were going to take a video of this khutbah to share it with people for knowledge, barakallah feek. You want to record it, barakallah feek. But to take a picture of me with this dress code is unimportant. It's not about me. It's about the knowledge. So whoever took this picture, delete it. Otherwise, I'm your opponent on the Day of Judgment. Continuing with our discussion. Why did we not learn? Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Acquiring knowledge, seeking knowledge, learning, educating oneself concerning Islam is an obligation on every Muslim. You cannot embark upon any act of worship where you will enslave yourself to Allah without knowing how to do so. And even though this is an issue which manifests in Hajj, like I said, it is common in all situations at all times. Even for those of us who didn't go for Hajj, we may have missed out on many of the virtues of the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah because we don't know much about them. Except what the Imam may say on the minbar in 20 minutes while some are asleep and others are bored and some are making dua that he gets off the minbar because the food is cooking at home. And the khutbah is taking too long, even though it's a sunnah to keep it short, but our state of mind is not that of someone who's here to learn. It is ritualism. You just come for Jumu'ah, go back home, life goes on. What did the Imam speak about? I don't know, but he was screaming. It sounded nice. He used some nice words which I haven't heard before. Akhi, what did you learn from the Jumu'ah? And you see how many of us will be able to answer. Say, wallah, he quoted such and such ayah and such hadith, and I learned this particular principle in Islam. And Allah al-Musta'an. So, where are we from acquiring knowledge of Islam? We are on one of two extremes. The guidance which we want from Allah, the one which Allah instructed us to ask for, is the one you find in Surah Al-Fatiha. And it is the favor which Allah bestowed upon the prophets and the truthful ones and the martyrs and the righteous Muslims. However, when you read the Fatiha, you find that you don't stop with اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. You further say غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And then you ask Allah to accept by saying Ameen. Other than the path of those who have attained Allah's wrath and anger. and other than the path of those who are astray, lost, misguided. According to the ulama and per the prophetic traditions, these are the Jews and the Christians. The Jews had knowledge with no application, and the Christians have no knowledge. You don't believe me? Ask the average Christian. Is Jesus God, or the Son of God, or God incarnate, or one of the one third of the Holy Trinity? And he will look at you puzzled. He may pick and choose. He may say, well, he's this one, he doesn't know. He doesn't have a foundation. He doesn't have knowledge to refer to. And if you ask his priest, he will slap him and say, don't ask these questions anymore. You need to believe. Blind faith. This is dalal. This is misguidance. This is ignorance. The Jews, they knew. They had knowledge which they did not act upon. And we cannot afford to be neither the first nor the second. We need the knowledge, because this is the sirat of those who Allah has bestowed His favors upon. And why were they called what they're called? What is the main characteristic of the prophets and the siddiqeen? Is that they had knowledge and they acted upon this knowledge. This is why Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. As they said, it is not because of some super worship he was making. Not because he was praying more than anyone else. It was something that was instilled in his heart. His belief, his ultimate belief and submission to Allah and following of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what made Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. What he knew, he acted upon. The problem with us today is we don't even know to act upon anything. We are clueless. And Allah Azza wa Jal made the distinction clear like the sun on a cloudless day. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being instructed and commanded by Allah to tell to the people, his immediate audience, the Sahaba and the disbelievers, and then he told them to convey this information from him to us today. Say, are they equal, those who know and those who know not? And this is a rhetorical question. The idea is, no, they're not equal. The one who knows and the one who doesn't know are not equal. There's a huge distance between them, like the distance between the heavens and the earth. Brother in Islam, which one are you? Are you among those who know or those who don't know? If you are among those who know, Allah praise you in this ayah, because Allah is trying to refer to their virtue. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah will raise those who believe amongst you and those who were given knowledge in degrees. Allah will raise them. Allah is praising them. Or are we among those who do not know? And if we do not know, the question is why? I ask you by Allah, what is it that is so important in this worldly life that we do not have time for seeking knowledge? What is it that is keeping us away from learning the deen, and what benefit will that bring? Yawmul Qiyamah, the day of resurrection. Yawmul Deen, the day of reckoning, where we will be questioned about Allah, by Allah Azza wa Jal, concerning every deed. What were we doing? Making sure that the house that we're living in is more spacious, or the car is more luxurious, or what? These dawah centers, what are they for? The scholars, what are they for? What did they dedicate their lives for? The endless hours they spent learning the deen so they can convey it to the people, but the people are not there. The scholars are available. The scholars are available. We are not available. Yes, there may be some things which conflict with work. Allah al-Musta'an. Work is work. You have to earn a living. I'm speaking about the spare time. The time spent behind the TV stations. The time spent at the park every day. The time spent listening to junk. The time spent gossiping, backbiting, and talking endlessly. The time spent in unimportant things. Why don't we take it as an opportunity to learn the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, so we may enter Jannah with this knowledge? Not so we may just stack it up and then not act upon it. No, so we may learn and act upon it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة." Whosoever treads a path, whoever travels upon a path seeking knowledge therein, Allah will facilitate for him a path which leads to paradise. If you want Jannah, then Jannah is available for the students of knowledge, for the people that are involved in learning this deen. No matter how minor the effort is, Allah may put His many blessings in it, and it will be a source of salvation on the day of reckoning. Do not undermine anything. The classes held at the Dawah Center for the new Muslims and for the brothers in general. Enough sleep. It is enough sleep. We are sleeping as an ummah and we are sleeping as individuals. All we do is sleep. And the scholars, some of them, used to have 4 hours of sleep only every day. All their lives, 4 hours of sleep. Like Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah. The whole time was learning and teaching and helping. And we are the ones who need this knowledge. We sleep 10 hours a day, 11 hours a day, particularly Thursday night, when we have to spend it out with the family. So we wake up before Jumu'ah, 5 minutes, no shower, no new clothes, no smelling good, no brushing the teeth with the siwak, nothing. We can barely see the door. And get in the car, driving recklessly, double park, block the people that are parked before you, and run over here. Don't know what's happening and why. Then we go back out of the door and go back home and wonder, how come my life hasn't changed in the past 20 years? Because you've been sleeping. It's about time that we take these matters seriously. Jumu'ah requires of you to wake up early if you want to go to Jannah. 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, big deal. Big deal. If you sleep at 12 and wake up for Fajr at around 4:45, then after Fajr you get back some sleep. So you will have enough energy for Jumu'ah. And you wake up at 8 or 9, what's the big deal? Nothing. Come early for to the Dawah Center. Learn what the teachers are teaching. And if you're not learning anything, come early for Jumu'ah. Recite the book of Allah. Bring with you a book of knowledge. Read something in a language which you understand. You don't know when you will read something that you will retain for the rest of your life and share with many other people. And this may be the key to paradise for you. We must make this change. I call on you, my brothers in Islam, to take this matter seriously. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, let us learn. There are classes here every Saturday, as I've mentioned many times before. And we go through the same dilemma. We announce the dars about Aqeedah, Allah's names and attributes. And 10 people come, then after 2 weeks we're back to 3-4 brothers. There's no consistency. When you commit yourself unless you're unable to because of some other obligations. The Saturday classes between Maghrib and Isha at this Dawah Center. How many of us know about Allah's names and attributes? How many of us know how many of us are able to explain them to the average new Muslim? How can you explain Allah having a face and Allah having hands with knowledge, with logic, with textual evidences first? How? It makes sense, it's nothing impossible. How many of us are able to do so? Allahu alam. This requires effort. Means of knowledge and seeking knowledge have become facilitated by Allah's grace. They are reliable websites. Not any website. Reliable websites from which you can learn authentic knowledge. And audio material and video material, everything is available. We need to make a move. Travel upon the path of the students of knowledge, and Allah will facilitate a path for you to Jannah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العلي العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wanted to praise the people of knowledge, He said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Verily, only those who truly fear Allah are the scholars. The only people who truly fear Allah, who fear Allah's greatness and majesty, who truly know Allah through His names and attributes, are the ulama, the scholars, the people of Islamic knowledge. This particular ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal showed us and taught us that we will never truly fear Him. And I'm speaking about the fear which is based on awe and veneration and respect, not the fear that you have from human beings. Because that kind of fear, if you have it with Allah, is shirk. You don't fear Allah the way you fear a lion. It is not about running away and hiding in some corner. It's about recognizing in the depth of your heart the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His control over His creation, His ability, His greatness, His power, His knowledge encompassing everything, His seeing, His hearing, His ultimate endless life. So you become worried and concerned about the fact that Allah is mindful over you, is watching over you, so you become mindful of Him. This particular element is a must to attain taqwa. To be truly among the people of taqwa, we must acquire the fear of Allah. And taqwa is the key to paradise. You read the Quran and you will come across hundreds of ayat where Allah Azza wa Jal strictly mentioned that Jannah is for the muttaqeen. وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي نُورِثُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا مَنْ كَانَ تَقِيًّا. That paradise we shall give, we shall grant to those amongst our slaves, to the one who is what? مَنْ كَانَ تَقِيًّا, the one who used to have taqwa. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا إِلَىٰ أَخِرِهِ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. The ayat are many to enumerate from the minbar. So there's a connection. Jannah with taqwa. Taqwa is based on knowledge. If we don't acquire knowledge, we will not truly acquire taqwa. If we don't acquire taqwa, we are not qualified for paradise. So the matter is not subordinate or trivial. This is as fundamental as it can be. Jannah, paradise, is our home and destination. And we need to make the necessary effort to acquire it and to be admitted by Allah's willing grace and mercy. So my brothers in Islam, we always, by Allah's grace, have a chance to be reminded so we may change our ways and fix ourselves and return back to Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Then escape and run towards Allah. Let us from today, have this new determination within ourselves to seek Islamic knowledge, to acquire Islamic knowledge, and to exert ourselves in this path. So from now on, when we engage in any act of worship, we do so upon insight. And we don't ruin our Hajj, or our Umrah, or our fasting, or our Salah, because we were too lazy to learn about these acts of worship prior to engaging in them. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب اصرف قلوبنا على طاعتك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصل اللهم وسلم على النبي المختار. أقم الصلاة.